Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this Board of Supervisor meeting to order. The date is July 11th, and the time is 9:03 a.m. I would first ask that everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask my son, Teo, to lead us in the pledge, and then remain standing for the invocation where Modesto City Schools, along with the City Ministry Network, Cindy Marks, will lead us in the invocation. Thank you.
Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and graciousness to us. Thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray for great blessings upon our county, for every person who lives here, for the families that are represented, for all the services that the county provides. I pray that you will give them wisdom in each department, that you'll bless the leaders in each department, and that you will give our supervisors, each one, supernatural wisdom and knowledge to be able to make decisions that affect so many in our county. I thank you for the great blessings that you have provided for us, the abundance of rain and snow that has provided for the water. I pray you replace our aquifers, that only you could do that in a supernatural way as you have done already this year. Thank you, Lord, for each one. Thank you for all that you're going to do and all that we're going to see happen in this next year. Amen.
Thank you very much, Cindy, and thanks for all you do in the community. Appreciate it. So, as we start this morning, I tell a story about my son. He said, I'm going to come to your board meeting, and he's got to work at 11 o'clock. He said, but you guys start on time? I said, we always start on time, 9, 9:01 for sure. And at 9:01, he goes like this to me. Because he's going to have to get to work. Thank you again for coming. Appreciate it. Right. Now we're going to move on to item two, which is a presentation. It's July, proclaiming July 2017 as Park and Recreation Month. Stanislaus County, Jamie Eggers, and Mary Mayhew presenting. Morning.
Good morning, Chairman, Board Members, CEO Risen, County Council Doering, Jamie Eggers representing Parks and Recreation this morning. And joining me at the table is Mary Mayhew, Assistant Director. And since staff deserve 110% of the credit, I'm going to have Mary make the presentation this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. It is my pleasure to celebrate July as Parks Month by presenting our accomplishments this past year and some thoughts as we look ahead to the future. I'll be showing you some of our marketing efforts this year, talking about some of the events that we've held, and also talking about some of our projects. In January 2017, we were fortunate to contract with a marketing coordinator, and I'll start by showing you some of her great efforts. We started Facebook last year in 2016, and we have a total of 18,700 members of our community liking and following the regional Parks Facebook pages. Social media has given us a great opportunity to communicate with the public and to provide them with information regarding our park services, and it's really great to see our community responding. This past year, Parks launched an Instagram account and a Twitter account, and you can find us at Stan County Parks. We have launched an effort to attract promoters of large events to our regional parks. We have a professional promoter packet that gives the promoters the information they need to schedule an event. In addition, we have partnered with the Oakdale Tourism Bureau to offer the services or show the services that Oakdale has to offer for these larger groups. And recently, staff have had contact with a national fishing tournament, a music event promoter, and we're also talking to Symbiosis about coming back in 2018. So we've had a lot of good contacts from that. As you know, our reservation system went live in February 2016, and this past fiscal year, we had over 6,100 reservations made. Our advertising efforts include Facebook advertising, where over 60,000 people were reached, And our Think Outside the House brand is moving about town on our local transit buses. This summer, we also advertised in movie theaters. And I'll give you a little snippet of that video. Parks was a sponsor at some community events recently, including Modesto Marathon, where our logo was a backdrop of all the pictures that were taken. We also sponsored Love Modesto and Amgen. These are all events that are focused on the community that we want to connect with, the people who enjoy the outdoors. At these events, we gather a lot of email addresses for our Constant Contacts email database. And at this time, we're up to over 5,000 email contacts that we use for promoting our events and also for newsletters. Over the past few years, there have been some very unfortunate tragedies at our two reservoirs. And from these tragedies, the community has responded. Stanislaus Consolidated Fire were gracious to attend our Easter egg hunt and the boat expo. And they educated the public and gave away 100 life jackets at the Easter egg hunt, 100 life jackets at the boat expo. Crescent Work and Outdoor, who is a vendor at one of our reservoirs, donated life jackets that were given away as well. Cat Country did a giveaway on Memorial Day weekend at both Modesto and Woodward. The Sheriff's Department donated 300 life jackets on June 23rd at Woodward Reservoir. And donated signage from the state boating and waterways have been put up at the reservoirs. Also, we'd just like to remind everyone that Consolidated Fire Stations have life jacket loaners, so please get a life jacket. In addition, the media has written several safety-oriented articles to help educate our community. So the community has really come together to try to prevent and to educate the public on water safety. Parks held three events this year, our annual Easter egg hunt, where we had an 11% increase over the 2016 attendance, and our Ultimate Boat and Sport Expo at Woodward. As part of our advertising this year, we are celebrating Woodward Reservoir's 100-year birthday. Keith Boggs found a banner that shows that Woodward was developed in 1917, and we capitalized on that 100-year celebration in our marketing efforts. This slide shows some then and now photos, although these pictures are not from 1917. They're from, I think, the 70s and 80s. And we also held our 22nd annual fireworks display at Woodward. Our off-highway vehicle parks continue with the Mud Fest and Stuck Fest events. They just love playing in the mud. Thanks to our awesome grant coordinator, Parks was awarded over $1.3 million in grant funding this last year. One of the grant-funded projects, Parks partnered with the Stanislaus County Police Activities League, Manos Unidas Community, Kaiser Permanente, and Kaboom to install a playground and exercise equipment at the Fairview Park. Many volunteers came out for the one-day build from the community and from PAL to donate their time and to build this park. This has had a very positive effect on the community, and they continue to watch over Fairview Park to ensure there's no vandalism. And to this day, we have not had one incident out there since build day in 2016. Another grant that Parks received was a housing-related Parks grant in the amount of $333,700 to renovate Fairview Park. And I just have to say that without the assistance of the planning department staff, we never would have qualified for this grant. So a special thank you to Angela Freitas and her staff, who worked tirelessly putting together all the data that was required for us to qualify for this grant. With these funds, Parks has poured all of the required ADA sidewalks and a beautiful entryway into the park. We've completed the electrical work for the lighting and the picnic shelter. We've repaired and replaced some perimeter protection. The old restroom has been demolished, and a new restroom is on order. We anticipate the installation in August this year. This park has a dirt driveway and dirt parking lot, and those will be paved and will be ADA compliant. The park also had a baseball backstop, but the community wanted soccer fields instead. So the backstop has been relocated to a different location in the park, so it's still usable, and we are putting in the two soccer fields. With the board's approval of additional funding for PAL, there will be summer and after-school activities in this park starting in July this year. We had a community meeting to hear what they wanted, and with the efforts of Manos Unidas, we had probably 30 community members who know what they want, and it was a very positive meeting and a positive outcome for this group. We also had a few smaller projects completed this year, thanks to GSA approving some deferred maintenance funding for the Modesto Reservoir Picnic Shelter re-roof and the paving at the Modesto Reservoir Marina boat ramp and parking lot. It looks really great out there. A recent project we're really excited about that we've completed is our online, not inline, duck blind draw. Historically, our process has been that over 700 hopeful duck hunters made a trip to the office to register for a draw and pay. They made a second trip to attend a hand draw at Harvest Hall on a Saturday that took most of the day. And if they won a spot, they then pinned the map for the location of the duck blind that they wanted. That process took a good portion of a Saturday in August. It also included probably 8 staff members who were working overtime that Saturday to complete it. So this year we were really pleased to announce our new online process. The duck hunters can register and pay online. The winners are notified electronically, and then the winners make one trip to the reservoir to pin the location and where they are going to put in their blind. We've received some very positive feedback already from the duck hunters and definitely from the staff as well, who love this new process. And finally, looking to the future, we're pleased to be pursuing a needed update to our 1999 Parks Master Plan. We're in the process of holding 5 community meetings. We've held 3 of them so far, and everyone is welcome to attend and give feedback on what they feel the park's priorities should be moving forward. We have a July 13th meeting at the Ag Center, Harvest Hall, at 6 p.m. and July 20th at 7 p.m. at the Keys Community Service District office. Those are our last 2 meetings, and we welcome the public to come out. We also have surveys on our website, stancountyparks.com, and we would love to hear, get a lot of feedback through the surveys. We anticipate having a master plan to bring before the board around April 2018, and we are meeting and engaging the community to explore these issues and potential solutions, to solicitate ideas, to review drafts of it, and we're just trying to gather a lot of data for that. So from all of us at Parks, we would like to invite our community and all of our Stanislaus County employees and board members to think outside the house and join us at our beautiful park facilities for some outdoor fun. Thank you.
Very nice. Any questions before I bring up Mary? Comments? Okay. Mary, I'm assuming you're coming up. There's the secret way in through the gate. Need help. So I think you touched on a lot of the key components. What is exciting is, even before I was on the board, you think of traditional parks like Fairview Park as the only parks. But we have, I just wrote down the off-road parks on the east and the west side of our county. We have water parks, Woodward and Modesto Reservoir. We've got a multitude of river parks like Laird Park and like Fox Grove, and then the traditional parks. And one thing that's in common is Laird Park, they did a lot of work, and Fairview and Supervisor DeMartini has been right in the middle of that. It's amazing when you bring a community together. We always talk about that, what you can do, and Laird Park is a great example. They had farmers in the area, helped with the irrigation system, with the pump system, to really bring it up. And we've looked at parks differently in probably the last 4 or 5 years, really about the value of it. And value comes in the eyes of the beholder, but as long as we're constantly improving, people find value and will pay to access the park, Woodward and Modesto, specifically on camping. So there's been some really great things. And the technological advancements, getting online has been amazing, really, the transition. If you ever have a chance to go up to Woodward Reservoir on one of the 2 3-day holidays, Memorial Day or 4th of July, you go out in the sheriff's boat because it's hard to get in there. But it is fantastic the way they bring people in. And then also Mary and I, along with the sheriff, went out to the Symbiosis Festival. I know others have traveled out there, but it's just unbelievable. And the people think that Stanislaus County, they leave with a great impression. And that's really what we're trying to do, tell people the story of Stanislaus County, and our parks are a great example of that. So with that, the Board of Supervisors hereby proclaims, I won't read all of it, but I'll read, therefore be it resolved that the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim July of 2017 as Parks and Recreation Month in Stanislaus County. It is great. It is a tremendous asset for us, and appreciate all you do.
Thank you.
So I will invite everyone out, anyone who's watching, anyone in the audience, to go out and visit our parks. They are really, really, what they've done at Woodward with the hookups. You have full-time hookups. You can just camp. You can bring a tent. There are lots of available services. Okay, so now we're going to move on to public comment, and I see we have an Eagle Scout in the house today, and first up on is Mr. Weston Freitas. Welcome, Weston.
Thank you.
We're probably going to have a question for you afterwards. All right.
Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Grateful to be here. I am... my name is Weston Freitas, and I'm an Eagle Scout with Troop 81, and that's in Patterson. I am here to thank Supervisor DeMartini for attending my Eagle Court of Honor this last Saturday, and I'm thankful for the certificate and the very kind letter that he brought me. And since I'm here, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for all the hard work that you do, and I hope that one day I can do my part as a citizen of this great country to make it a better place. Yeah, so that's all I have. Thank you.
So you've got all these patches.
Merit badges, yes.
So I know you've put a lot of time in. Eagle Scout is the highest attainment, right, in the Boy Scouts?
Yes.
So how many hours do you ever sit back and think of how much time it took you to get to an Eagle Scout rank?
Well, I started when I was about 5 years old in Cub Scouts as a Tiger. So if you do the math, I've been in scouting for about 12 years. But I didn't start earning merit badges because once you become a Boy Scout, that's the different age groups. Once you become 11, you become a Boy Scout, and that's when you can start earning merit badges. So I've been earning merit badges since I was about 11 years old.
That's great. Supervisor Olson, did you? Supervisor DeMartini.
The wrong button. So. Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to comment on what an exceptional fine man Weston is. I went to a ceremony, and it was just, this guy's got a lot of achievements there. And he didn't say anything about it, but he has 57 merit badges. 57. So he's a very accomplished person there. He's just a great model citizen, and I wish we had more people like him. This county would be a lot better place. So I just think the world of him. He's going to Australia for a couple of years, as I recall. Well, maybe when you want to come back from Australia, you might want to run for supervisor. So what It was Australia you're going to, isn't it, for a
couple
years?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So he's just a great guy. He's got a great family. And we just had a nice time. It was at Crow's Landing where the ceremony was, and it was I just thoroughly enjoyed it. So I just you're a very accomplished person. I was really happy to be there to celebrate your achievement.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I might run for supervisor, but I have to finish college first.
Yeah. Make sure you register to vote.
Yeah.
Right, for sure.
Way
All
ahead
right.
of you.
Weston, thank you very much for coming in
Thank
today.
You. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Next up, I have Linda Mayo. Good morning, Linda. Pull that microphone. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Perfect.
All right. I'll turn my papers on. Okay. I'm here to give you a present, actually. Nami Stanislaus and myself, Linda Mayo, as part of the Laura's Law Advocacy Team, are going to give you a present of a book. Terry, you've already heard about this one. It's called Insane Consequences, How the Mental Health Industry Fails the Mentally Ill. And it's by DJ Jaffe, who is Executive Director of Mental Illness Policy Org. In his book, DJ Jaffe illustrates the consequences of ignoring the seriously mentally ill, the historical changes in the mental health industry that perpetuate the problem, and provides us with solutions for fixing the problem, and talks about the future. The foreword to the book was written by E. Fuller Torrey, MD, who is a research psychiatrist. And he says, Insane Consequences proposes smart, compassionate, affordable, and sweeping reforms designed to send the most seriously ill to the head of the line for services rather than to jails, shelters, prisons, and morgues. It lays out a roadmap to spend less on mental health and more on mental illness, replace mission creep with mission control, and return the mental health system to a focus on the most seriously ill. It is not money that is lacking, it's leadership. This book is a must-read for anyone who works in the mental health industry or cares about the mentally ill, violence, homelessness, incarceration, or public policy. So the book, I've given you a little note with the book, but I'll briefly go over what, it's a gift from NAMI and our team. And I don't want to scare you. It's really not this big because about a quarter of the back end is our appendages and references from where the data came from. And even with that, I know you guys are very busy, so I made some recommendations. And of the recommendations, I've totaled it up, it's 58 pages. So I'm hoping that you will be able to take the time to read at least the 58 pages and maybe get so engrossed, like I did, that you might want to read the whole thing. But in the beginning is the introduction, which is an overview of everything. And then section one is the financial consequences of diverting funds to things that don't work. And in section seven, it's where do we go and the solutions. AOT, Laura's Law in California, is relatively new in our state, although Nevada County has had great success for almost 10 years now. We have seen so much evidence that AOT is a successful program in several California counties. More importantly, AOT has been in place in 46 states for many years and has evidence success in greatly reducing homelessness, incarceration, and hospitalization. There is much evidence that AOT saves taxpayers money and saves lives. And I'm going to read just an excerpt of something that the Nevada County's AOT, Judge Anderson, wrote. He says, Laura's Law provides an effective tool to help people who are in serious danger of being involuntarily hospitalized or incarcerated or worse. The impact of Laura's Law interventions has been proven to save people from severe mental health deterioration, increase voluntary participation in their own mental health care, increase personal and social stability, decrease the need for crisis intervention, and saving of lots of taxpayer money. There is no good reason to not implement Laura's Law. In fact, under the current circumstances, considering the budget issues and standards of care, the failure to utilize Laura's Law might be considered negligent. The families and their loved ones who are left without hope or help ask you to support Laura's Law. Anyway, I'm going to pass out your copy along with the little statement I kind of just read. Woo, just in time. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Linda.
Thanks, Linda.
Next up, we have Rhonda Allen.
Good morning, Board. My name is Rhonda Allen.
Just keep going.
Okay.
There you go.
I live in Modesto, and I'm here to follow up on what Linda Mayo just had to say. I'm also advocating for Laura's Law, or AOT, in our county. And I came with two pieces of information about statistics that show the need, why we in our county need to do this. And we also want to keep this on the forefront. We're right now in a study about this, so there is a lot of data out there that shows why our county needs this, and so I'm going to share two of those. The first one is a state reporting website information about 5150s. This is the code for involuntary hospitalizations. Our county, according to the state reporting website, is the second highest in the state for per capita reporting of 5150s. The state average is 30 for 10,000, and our county is 106.3 for 10,000. It's more than three times the state average. So this is a red flag that we do indeed have a problem in our county. If we're the second highest in the state for 5150s, and of course, this isn't all of the severely mentally ill that need help. This is just the ones that we have documented there. I also have our chief of police's report for the last 2 years on how many calls they are taking for 5150s or seriously mentally ill calls. 1,422 in 2015, which averages more than three a day. And I've heard from the police department they spend 30% of their time working on mental health crisis issues. And in 2016, the numbers are equal. So I think this tells us that we need to look into alternatives for what we're doing. And as you know, when you're hospitalized, the costs are great. It's about $1,400 a day just to be kept at our psych hospital. So that adds up quickly when you think about the numbers. We're talking millions. And these people, when they're in treatment, will not be hospitalized and incarcerated. So we can save our county a lot of money. This can affect taxpayers' dollars being used elsewhere. And so we really feel this is an issue that we want you to be really putting on the forefront and thinking about what we can do about it and hopefully vote to implement this. So I'm going to hand you a copy of those two reports so you have them and you can see the numbers for yourself. Thank you.
Hey, Rhonda, can I ask you a question? Because that number 106 versus 30 is an average is a huge
per capita
difference.
Yeah.
On a per capita basis, do you believe that's because of law enforcement's proactive approach, that they're making more contacts, that's why they end up with more, or do you think we're so disproportionately, we have such a disproportional share of mentally ill folks in our community?
Well, this is a good question. I don't know the total picture, of course, not knowing whatever county's dealing with, but I think there is a severely mentally ill crisis all over our state and in other states. But we know that in other states that are using AOT, they have been able to intervene in this, and we are not doing that.
But these numbers are California, right?
Yes, our county's reports. So I don't know personally all the different counties' scenarios and how active their police are. I think that's obviously a consideration. But I think when we look around at our streets and our situation, we know there's a problem.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
I will hand you this.
Okay. Anyone else for a public comment? Opportunity to speak on anything that's not on today's posted agenda? Going once, going twice, okay. Gonna move on to the item 5, the consent calendar. Would any board member like to pull any items? Clerk with an asterisk. Any member of the public want to comment on any item that is on the consent calendar? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action.
I will make a motion to approve all consent calendar items.
We've got a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. On to item B13, approval to rehire Peggy Hunsinger for a limited purpose prior to the 180-day sit-out period required by the Public Employees Pension Reform Act. Jody Hayes will be presenting.
Good morning, Chairman Chiesa, members of the board, CEO Rising, Council Doring. Jody Hayes from the Chief Executive Office, very appreciative for the opportunity to present this item to you this morning. I actually caught Weston on his way out and offered him the opportunity to present for a merit badge, but he declined. What a fine young man. I was almost ready to offer him the CEO position there for a minute. A
little worried on today's the 30-day countdown, right?
Yeah, it's getting real fast. Okay, so a little bit about what we're here to discuss today is actually about that transition, a bit about that. So I wanted to kind of walk through you what this presentation was. We're requesting your support for some temporary management support in our risk management division of the Chief Executive Office. I just want to take a moment to highlight some of the areas that we've outlined in your staff report before you this morning. Our risk management division has 12 staff assigned to risk management. And just for some perspective, we previously had 17 staff in risk management, and we had assigned a full-time deputy executive officer to that role to support those 17 positions. I have been fulfilling the role as the county's risk manager on a part-time basis, kind of splitting my time between the rest of the chief executive office responsibilities and risk management during that time. And I think we've done a good job. We've trimmed the workforce back through the Great Recession like most county departments did. I think all county departments did, actually. So we're not unlike most of the other parts of this organization in that it's a lean, efficient operation, and we have some good folks there doing some good work. Our real challenge at the moment is that we've experienced quite a bit of turnover in our staff, and it hasn't been necessarily negative turnover. We've had promotions, we've had people move up in the ranks, we've had people transfer to other work assignments, we've had people ask for the opportunity to challenge themselves and other career opportunities to kind of develop and round out their resume and so forth. And the result of all of those changes in our organization is that we only have 3 staff in that division of 12 employees now that have been there for more than 2 years. And that's very challenging. So everyone's in much like a learning mode, but that takes supervision, leadership, and management to support. And of our management, we have 4 managers in our risk management division. 3 of them, I guess I should say only one of them has been in their assignment for really more than 1 year. That's the team that we're working with. We have a great team that we've assembled. We actually just offered a new position to another candidate yesterday that's going to be a great member of the team, but they need time to come up to speed. So the request is to, before you today, is to allow us to rehire Ms. Peggy Hunsinger, who was serving as the assistant risk manager, or manager 3 in that division, up until March of this year when she retired. Peggy spent 21 years working for the chief executive office, all of that time in risk management, and all of that time at the management level. She has worked in pretty much each of the different units that, and has exposure to each of the different units that we operate. Peggy has been out of the workforce. The law requires us to bring an agenda item to the Board of Supervisors if we want to rehire a retiree within 180 days. Peggy essentially has met about two-thirds of that period of time. And to be honest with you, if we were not going through the other leadership transitions in our office, including my departure from risk management, we would have been waiting on this item and trying to just hold off, and we would have somehow just tried to use my time or some others to patch it together. But in recognizing that over the next 30 days, we are going to have this significant transition in leadership, I've met with all of my staff to brainstorm what we can do to try to stabilize the organization on a short-term and on a long-term basis, and bringing back Peggy prior to that 180 days was a central component of our ability to do that. If approved by the board, Peggy's going to have two major responsibilities in the next 6 months. The first is going to be to coordinate our employee wellness event, that we do an annual event. We really bumped it up a notch last year, but now we have to somehow meet that mark that we've really raised. We do a Wellness Connect event where we have kind of essentially an employee wellness fair that travels throughout the county to four different locations. Participation from a huge portion of the county workforce in this event. We did health screenings for just under about 1,300 employees and retirees last year. So Peggy's going to be coordinating that entire event. Without her participation in that, I'm not sure how the rest of the staff are going to be able to pull that off, but that's her primary initial responsibility. Her secondary responsibility is really related to her specific expertise in the computer systems that we operate in risk management. We have a long overdue upgrade to our PeopleSoft system for a program that we refer to as absence management, and that allows us to streamline and improve the procedures that we use for leave of absence requests. We have over 2,100 leave of absences that get processed through our office every single year. We have two staff that process over 2,000 applications for people to take FMLA or California Family Rights Act leave. Peggy was the manager over that unit. She is very close to being able to implement an online solution to that program that's going to improve efficiencies, not just for our staff, but for the county departments that work in this this area as well. So we think that by having her back early, she can actually save not just us some time, but everybody else in the organization some time by streamlining those processes and making us more efficient. So those are the requests that we have before you this morning. We recognize and appreciate the sensitivity that this board has to bringing back retirees within the 180-day window. We've talked about this at a recent department head meeting, I will tell you, and we've made sure it's very clear to everyone that these are not routine matters. And so with that said, I can tell you that we would not perceive this request to be a routine matter to bring Ms. Hunsinger back, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions for Ms. Reyes?
I note here you say there's an estimate of her assignment will last 6 to 8 months. Does that mean that program will be completed, or will you be, will then there need additional personnel when she completes it, or will she continue on? That's the confusion in reading that sentence.
Okay, thank you for your question. The projects that she'll be assigned will be completed within 6 to 8 months. I do not have any other work for her to perform on an ongoing basis after that. If there is a need, Supervisor Monteith, it would be a very, very limited basis, if anything. But those two projects are her major.
Okay, this is a project within itself. It's not an ongoing Correct. Process.
Correct.
And it's 6 to 8 months.
Correct.
I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions, Jody? Okay, seeing none, would anyone in the audience like to comment on this item? Okay, bring it back to the board for action.
So move.
We have a motion, Supervisor Monteith.
Second.
A second, Supervisor Olson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. So, moving on to, we have no scheduled matters. We're moving on to correspondence.
This board has received the 2016-2017 Stanislaus County Civil Grand Jury Reports regarding the City of Oakdale Residence Property Tax, participation in the Annual Financial Audit Report, Stanislaus County Law Enforcement and Detention Facilities Inspections, and the Stanislaus County Probation Department.
Refer to the Auditor, Controller, Sheriff, and the Chief of Probation Office.
This board has received a letter from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife regarding their receipt of the tax collector's notice of impending power to sell related to unpaid assessments.
For the treasurer tax collector.
This board has received two letters from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the 2017 fiscal year allocations for the Community Planning and Development's formula programs, which provide funding for housing, community, and economic development activities, and assistance for low and moderate income persons and special need populations.
For the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Seeing none. Legislative Fiscal Management Report, CEO.
No report this morning.
Well, so we're going to adjourn the regularly scheduled meeting. We do have a closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a number of matters to discuss in closed session today. First is a conference with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one matter. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D4. We also have conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation involving one case, County of Stanislaus versus City of Modesto et al., Stanislaus County Superior Court Case number 667397. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision D1. Additionally, there's public employee appointment for the position of Treasurer Tax Collector, held pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, Subdivision B. Finally, there's a conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Jody Hayes, and Brandy Hopkins, and the labor organizations are the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Management Association and Stanislaus County Sheriff's Supervisors Association. We do not expect to report out on any of those matters, and it would be appropriate to ask if there are any public comments before adjourning to closed session.
So can I ask one question? We always hear these numbers. Where can someone get onto government code and look up these sections? Just for curiosity.
Well, Google is your friend. Just type in government code section, whatever it is there, and it'll probably take you there.
Okay.
But there are various resources through the state of California. They have all the codes and laws online, and if they need a reference to that, they can certainly come to our office and we'll direct them, or I'm not sure, but I'll check, but I think we have a link to that on a county council webpage.
Perfect. Are there any comments? Seeing none, we'll adjourn closed session.